Hey, everyone. God damn it. Again. Hey. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Shotcast.
Hey.
So, here with me, as always, I'm Bo Ransdell. I am a host of sorts. With me are...
Hey, Bo.
Hey. What's happening?
Hi.
Everything's good.
Great.
How
you doing? I'm well. We'll get to it in a second.
Okay. Sorry. Jumping the gun a bit.
And that voice you hear there is one John Dolan, master of the Segway.
You're talking about like the scooter thing, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Like I rode, there was like a BMX league for Segways. I was the top dog in that for like 6 years.
Speaking of, hang on, put a pin in that one sec. With us also, Justin McFerrin. I need to bring him into this conversation. The fuck is going on with all these bird scooters, everybody? What's happening? Where did they come? Where did they come from? What is the plan?
Where do they go? Where do they come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
True words. Never been true words on this show.
I think it was Shakespeare who said that originally.
Yeah. Right. I've heard tell that our local government is currently sending swaths and patrols of humans to snatch them up and, I guess, detain the bird scooters so that the company can get rid of them and get them out of our city. That's the last I heard. I've seen them everywhere, and I haven't rode on one, but I ride my bike back on these trails where people ride their bicycles, and I found one like 3 miles back on this trail, and the battery was definitely dead. So whoever's coming trying to get that one to charge it is going to have to walk about 6 miles just to do it.
Nice.
I like the idea of somebody grabbing one of those things and just kind of pulling a Kramer of like, let's see how far we can go on one charge.
Have you guys, do you see them downtown or where do they roam?
Well, here in
I haven't seen these yet. I've heard people in San Francisco talking about them, and this is the first time I've heard anywhere else other than there.
Downtown and like down in like East Nashville where I live.
Rotten with them.
Huh. Yeah, I've seen them going down like Gallatin Road, like some crazy people without helmets and stuff. Like, you know, like a road that's like 40 miles per hour and those things go like 20 miles per hour.
And it's like an electric bicycle?
It's just like a scooter.
Okay.
That you stand on that's electric.
Like a Razor scooter?
Yeah, like a glorified Razor scooter.
Huh.
But
and some company just like carpet bomb the city with them?
Yeah, so they dump them off, and then you sign up in the app. It's all like through an app, so you can like sign up to be a charger, and you get the GPS locations of where someone dropped the drained bird off, and then you get money for each one that you go charge, and they like supply the quick charger, and it takes 30 minutes to charge it. So there's, you know, it's like this like no responsibility business model where you just like dump all the equipment and then you just crowdsource the like, the middle management of it.
I can't believe I haven't seen these in Baltimore yet. This sounds like a Baltimore thing. Yeah. Okay.
And
we already have city bikes, which are fine.
Yeah.
But they're just cheap.
Like, there's no like charging station set up or anything. Like, do they have approval from the city to do this?
No, they just like did it. They just
That's awesome.
And the city's sharing just economy. Like,
we're gonna share all our garbage on your city streets, and you clean it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And someone's gonna get killed because, as Justin was saying, like I live here in East Nashville as well, so I see it all the time of people zooming down Woodland or something, which isn't a main thoroughfare or anything, not like Gallatin Road, but it is certainly busy.
Yeah, and somebody's going to come up with some way to use these nefariously somehow. Like,
I hope so.
Why wouldn't you be mugging somebody and then mug someone, take their
zip
phone,
away on your little
use
scooter.
Their bird account to get a scooter to ride around and mug other people all night long?
That's oddly specific, Justin.
I'm just saying, like,
yo, this bird's
it's not
mine.
Hard to think
now.
Like a criminal. Criminals aren't the smartest people in the world.
It's true.
They just that don't care true. About hurting people.
I've yet to witness. Is it what is it called? A bird? Scooter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I've heard about them. Haven't seen one.
It's
thank God.
Well, it's here, man.
Oh man, they're all over the place here. Yeah, I really had no idea who the company was behind it, where they had come from. I didn't know the thing about they crowdsourced all the charging, because that was another question I had. And all I've seen are sort of the civic reactions to it of, hey, man, we gotta keep these off like the big busy road. Somebody's going to get hurt. Yeah. You know how many people are drunk in Nashville on any given night?
Right.
All of them.
I mean, a high percentage for sure.
Yeah.
And downtown Nashville, where all these bird scooters happen to be, and car traffic is also allowed. Uh-huh.
It's a great recipe.
For what?
It's a recipe for hate.
Thinning the herd.
Yeah, evolution.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Although, you know, we as a society seem to be anti-evolution these days. It's more like, let's keep everybody around and see how it all shakes out.
How fast does scooter go?
20 miles an hour, I think.
How fast can I get this thing going?
I think
I'll take it out on the interstate. I'll take it on the interstate.
Right. I'm gonna skitch behind someone's car and see how fast I can get this motherfucker going.
Yeah, just back to the future.
The wheels start burning off the thing.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Okay, so
it's like a side industry.
Yeah.
You can get on your scooter on your app, but when you start losing your charge, you can pay for a Skitcher to come along in the Skitcher app, and he'll pick you up and tow you the rest of the way. And then you Venmo him some money. You both, I don't know, throw a bucket of garbage on the ground and drive away. I don't know.
Boy, it certainly is a different world, isn't it?
In such a short time, too. I feel so old saying that, but yeah, I remember not long ago somebody showing me an animated weather map on their phone, and that was like 15 years ago, and that was the craziest shit I had ever seen in my entire life. And in 15 short years, you've gotten to free scooters for everybody.
It's got to be like, you go.
I was going to say, it's got to be like, for people who remember when cars came around, you know, that
what a sea change that was.
Right. Yeah. The advent of the internet and mobile technology has become that ground shaking where it's just like, oh, yeah, this is not, you know, it's like them old motherfuckers who were like, you know, I fought in the Civil War. And you're like, holy shit, you ought to be dead.
Yeah.
No man should see that much.
You're like, I bet you're depressed.
Or just, you have come to worship your microwave as some sort of magic, you know?
Yeah. Tupperware. It would be Tupperware.
Sure.
That was like a cult.
This would have saved my index finger. Shut off at Gettysburg. So what we're going to do that's a little bit different is the back end of the show tonight is going to be all about E3, the big video game exposition happening in Los Angeles. And so we're going to talk about that on the back end, and we'll do some news in between. But up front, we're going to go around, talk about what we have been playing. There's one game we have in common. We'll discuss that here in a few, but otherwise, just pulling a name out of hat here, Justin McFerrin, what in the world have you been playing?
I picked up a game called Vampire, with a P-Y-R at the end instead of the I-R-E, the Vampire, as would probably pronounce it. It's like a action role-playing game, third-person perspective. You're a doctor who's been turned into, obviously, a vampire, who has a thirst for human blood, as vampires seem to do traditionally. In this game, it's like kind of like Jack the Ripper, like 1918 time. And the twist on this is that it's a pretty open world, like a semi-open world. It's not huge, but there's a cast of characters in it, and each of them is important to the story in some way. But you have the ability to kill them, you know, as a vampire if you want to, or keep them alive. And it's sort of up to you, like, the kinds of people that you feed off of as the vampire and who you turn into vampires. And it seems like a pretty cool concept to me. And you get some abilities, like, you can, like, determine, like, behavior of people. Sort of, almost like the glamour thing from True Blood. Like, you have just kind of like a sense about people, and you can make them tell the truth. So you can learn information. This game's a lot about, like, a RPG style. So you're gonna, it's a lot of, like, relationships and, like, side quests with these minor characters. And it seems like it's gonna be a pretty cool concept. You can, the visuals are really cool, and, you know, you can sort of see, like, the blood system inside of a person, like, even, like, the brain, like, the whole, like, all the blood vessels and everything, like, pulsing when you're, like, really low on blood as a vampire. As as you start out in the game, you're sort of forced to feed on someone to kind of get over, you know, the tutorial part of it. That's about as far as I've gotten. I haven't met a lot of the characters, and I don't know, it's a really dark game, but it seems like it's something a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, but I like the concepts in it a lot.
Yeah, I picked it up as well, and I think I'm about where you are as well. Like, way too early on to pass any kind of judgment. Yeah. I will say that the initial combat that you run into, I was not crazy about. And that sort of, what I've been hearing about this game is that the combat's not great, but everything else about it is really good.
Interesting.
And that the combat is something that you just kind of have to manage your way through.
What's the combat like?
You can lock on to targets, and you sort of mash a button to fight, but it's, it's just kind of clunky. But
there's a dodge. Yeah. It's kind of Dark Souls-ish in that there's a stamina bar. There's a dodge. There's your attack. I don't know that it gets down to light and heavy. I never saw that. It was just sort of the one button. Yeah. You do have a choice of, like, well, there are guns and things like that. You have your vampiric powers, which are more melee attacks. There's something to it, but I don't know yet.
Yeah. What is the, like, does the perspective change when you're playing the game versus when you're in combat, or how does that work?
No, it's the same.
Third person all the time, or
third person? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would add that a couple of the cool features that I had sort of read about or seen in videos is you, as the vampire, you know, as your character, you can't enter a person's house unless they invite you in. So I thought that was a pretty cool concept that they tossed in there. So you have to use some kind of dialogue options, and you have to become somewhat skilled at that to be able to, you know, attain your goals at least. But also,
so it's like an RPG speech check, basically.
Yeah. But okay. Also, like a good Metal Gear game, you can apparently finish this game without killing anybody.
Nice.
So.
Huh.
Who knows?
Sounds weird. Like, the screenshots on Steam don't give you a great sense of what it is.
Yeah, there's like a series of videos that came out that the developers did, just like building up to it. I think it's like a four part series that it's worth at least, like, just seeing, going through that and learning a little bit about the story and about the mechanics. They kind of go through a little bit of that stuff, you know, a little more in depth.
I like the idea of the story where it's, he's a doctor who's, is there, like, he's dealing with some sort of plague or something, is that right? But
Spanish flu.
Yeah, but then he also is a vampire, so he has access to, like, sickly people he could feed on if he wants to. That's kind of cool.
The initial moment where, like, someone's circulatory system lights up was pretty cool. Yeah. It was one of the more interesting, like, vampire effects I've seen, not just in games, but just in movies.
Yeah, there was a movie that did something like that, though. What the hell was it? It was the second Riddick movie, The Chronicles of Riddick. There's those guys that have the big lens on their face, and they could see, the heart rate pumping in people. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's a weird movie, y'all.
Yeah.
That is a weird movie.
It's a real left turn from the first one.
Yeah, I like the first one a lot.
I enjoy both of them. I think they're both great. Even the cartoon. If we're going to talk about some fucking Riddick, the cartoon, the Dark Fury cartoon, is pretty good, too.
I never saw that.
It's like an animated, it's like an anime-esque thing. It's kind of got like a Aeon Flux vibe to it a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. Dark Fury. Look it up.
I'm watching Riddick tonight.
It's been a while since I've seen Pitch Black.
Yeah,
I remember enjoying that quite a bit.
Really good with a nice surround sound system. Especially that that crash sequence at the beginning of that with all the little micro asteroids come pelting through the hull of that ship. Sounds real good.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Word of the wise.
Speaking of tangents, John.
Yes.
What the world have you been playing, sir?
I did want to just briefly mention that we played some of that PUBG event where it was crossbows only.
Yeah.
And that changed that game up big time. It was hard as fuck.
It was. It's frustrating.
Interesting experiment, though, I thought. The funniest part of it was Justin and I matched into a game with a pretty big PUBG streamer.
And he was wrecking people.
He was tearing them up with that crossbow. It was funny. We got killed right away. But yeah, he was really cool about it.
It's very nice.
And it was just random. How did I happened to, like a couple days earlier, I was watching Dr. Disrespect a little bit and was like getting kind of tired of the shtick, and I was looking around like who are the other top PUBG streamers. I watched a little bit of Shroud, and I've seen a bunch of him. I was kind of looking for somebody new, and there was this guy that had like 4,000 or 5,000 viewers, and I clicked on his channel, and his name is Choco Taco. Apparently, he's pretty famous. He was one of the top ranked PUBG players in the world for like 3 seasons in a row of PUBG or something like that. But he's super chill on his stream, and I was watching that, and then the next day, Justin and I got on to play some of that, and we just matched into a game with him. So I had only heard of him like the day before. And
did you see his username? Is that what did
yeah,
you all?
Yeah, I recognized it immediately. Okay. Because I watched him for like 45 minutes, something like that. And he's real good. And so, since then, have watched him play a few times. But it was just odd because there's millions of people playing that game at a time, and we matched in with the streamer that I just recently discovered. It was strange.
It was meant to
be. Meant
to
be. But that mode was interesting. It should never be a thing that you can do in that game, because nobody would play it. Like, given the choice between that and some other mode, no one would choose to do.
It's like
crossbows only.
I think in my perfect world, PUBG needs to become like GoldenEye was, where there are all these different game modes, and there's people who are like, I play slappers only, man. You know,
slappers
only. You know, and that's their thing, you know? And so there's going to be people like, I'm crossbows and ghillies only. So let those people go do their thing. Just give us the menu to pick all that stuff.
Custom games. They need to make that a user thing. Because it's just like with mods. Users are going to come up with better shit than you ever will. Like, there's just so many more of them interested in your game. Like, just don't have the hours and the day. You release that stuff out into the community and all of a sudden, the time spent working on it just skyrockets and you get really cool shit. So why not?
Now, I did have an idea for a PUBG mode that was every time the circle changes, it's like gun game and everyone gets a different gun, like automatically.
Sometimes
just throws it in there.
Yeah, just like
you get like a hot dog.
Yeah, sometimes you just get like a grenade, you know what I mean? Like a smoke grenade, shit,
That's not bad. I kind of like that. Just randomizes everybody's gear.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, something crazy. Or at least make that an option in the custom thing. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They'll probably do it in Fortnite first.
There you go. Burn, sick burn.
Speaking of segues.
Oh, no. I'll keep setting them up. You keep knocking them down.
That's nice work. Very nice. I played a whole bunch of Fortnite. It happened because my son comes home from school talking about it all the time. And it's like, yeah, your friends talk about Fortnite. And I had initially told him, I don't know if that game's appropriate for you. We'll check it out together sometime when we have time. And it's a shooter game. It's no worse than fucking Star Wars Battlefront or anything like that that he's already been playing. So we, the mission was to set it up to do crossplay, and it's actually pretty easy. So he was playing it on PS4, and I was playing it on PC, and all we had to do was both have Epic game accounts, and then you can just invite each other right within the main menu of Fortnite and play cross-platform, which is super nice. Works great. Absolutely no problems doing that at all. Fortnite is 100% a cartoonized version of PUBG so that parents won't complain that their kids are playing a violent video game. That is 100% what it is.
They slid right in there and they cashed in on it.
Straight up PUBG with like cartoon characters in it instead of real guys. But they're like carrying around sniper rifles with fucking scopes and, you know, crosshairs and shotguns. And it's all third person though. So it takes on like this, you know, somebody walks in the room and looks up at it. It's just some cartoony ass colorful game. And, you know, unless you really sit there and watch what this game is all about, which is, you know, a battle to the death, last man standing, no one would ever notice the difference.
If only PUBG had created the mode PUBG G and just PUBG. Beat them to the punch.
Nice.
PUBG G.
Just make it water guns. You know what I mean? Make it super soakers.
Yep.
And water balloons. Yep. You know?
Paintball.
But that's not the spirit of PUBG. PUBG is
it's a military sim.
Right, like, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker. Whereas Fortnite is like, oopsie, I died, you know.
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, like, there's a whole lot of, I'm gonna kill this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's still, you're still people hunting people.
Yep.
Sure, I'm saying from an outside observer point of view.
Oh, what are you playing, Mario? Oh, does Mario have a gun? That's interesting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, ever since Ubisoft got their hands on him, fuck. Yeah. All bets are off.
When did Mario get a Sam Fisher costume?
Right. He flips
Mario tagging targets.
Flips down the goggles. I'm here to report that the world's most popular game is actually pretty good. I've had a lot of fun playing Fortnite. It's always third person. I think the biggest difference, the hardest thing to get used to between that and PUBG is you can't turn your head and look. It's just your body, unless I have not discovered the controls or something. But I looked around for it for a while. But yeah, there's no, like in PUBG, I would hold down the alt key with my thumb to free look, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's fine because it's third person and it's got a real floaty, like it's almost an exact copy of like the Halo 3 jump. Like if you can imagine what that jump felt like in that game, that's very much what Fortnite's jump feels like. I had bagged on this game a little bit initially because I just said I don't like the building part of it. I think the building part's stupid. I don't think it's stupid. I don't engage with it very much, though, because other people are super crazy good at building shit in Fortnite, so I just run up to the stuff they build and use it for cover most of the time. I use the building in the game to like get myself out of places that I don't want to be. Like if I'm down in a ravine and the action is up at the top of the ravine, I don't want to run all the way around. I build myself a big staircase to climb up the side of the mountain out of like the wood that I've gathered. Occasionally I'll build a base. I'll throw up some walls and make like basic structures that you can use for cover. And it works pretty good. I've actually played a bunch with controller, which works great on PC. And then I switched over to mouse and keyboard, which is better, mostly because when you're looking through a scope, it's just easier to do it with the mouse every time. But both, I would say, are equally good. And then I didn't really notice a difference in my results between playing with controller versus playing with the mouse and keyboard. I was still getting about the same amount of kills with both. You can turn a little better using the mouse, I guess. But yeah, it's just like PUBG. Instead of the plane flying across the map at the beginning, it's a bus. There's music blaring out of the bus. The map is smaller. It's a little more condensed. But you pick a spot, you jump out, you parachute down. And then the looting process is more fun than PUBG because you have a big axe. And so like you land on the roof of a house and you start swinging your axe at the roof of the house, and it kind of like cartoon wobbles a little bit, and you can start to see like damage building up on it, like a block in Minecraft as you're mining it. And as you're doing that, a little target appears, and if you aim where your next strike is going to be at that target, it plays a tone, and then the target slides somewhere else, and if you hit it again, it plays a higher tone, and it kind of goes up a scale as you hit it. And if you hit that target a couple of times, you will bust through that wall a little bit faster. And it's, instead of if you were just like wailing on the same spot over and over, it would take like 8 hits. If you hit that target, it only takes 4. When you rip that roof off, it breaks down into logs, which go into your inventory that you can then use to build stuff. So then you would drop down into the attic of that house. You'd find a machine gun, maybe some bandages. There's first aid kits. It's just everything that's in PUBG is in this game, except there's like little crazier twist on it, like rocket launchers, grenade launchers, like big light machine guns that just have insane amounts of bullets that just spray forever. Everything is color coded, like standard loot, like RPG loot colors, blue, purple, orange, yellow, and those affect their damage. But then, yeah, it's just stay ahead of the circle, which is called the storm in Fortnite. And I think the coolest thing about it is that they have a whole bunch of modes available, and they've switched them. It's kind of like the event modes, but they try out different stuff. When I first started playing it, they had singles, they had duos, they had a four-person squad, they had a 50 versus 50 match, which was super fun. So you would jump and you would still be in a squad of 4, but then you would also see friendly pit markers above all of the other 45 people on your team. And the first circle, every single map, every single game was always centered over the center of the island perfectly. And then it would slowly adjust as it came in, but you could always be assured that it was generally going to push everybody somewhere towards the middle of the map. And then it was just 50 on 50. It was complete fucking mayhem and just crazy towers being built everywhere. That was there for like 2 weeks, and then they switched that mode. They got rid of that and then replaced it with 5 teams of 20 all going against each other, which is also very fun.
Yeah, I like those concepts. Those are things I've wanted in PUBG for a long time.
Yeah. But it's a third-person shooter that's very responsive. It's a very well-put-together game. It's, like, high-quality, you know, fairly bug-free. I've run into a few, like, geometry glitches and stuff, but, you know, nothing that's really ruined the experience, you know, consistently. It's been fine. Shit is free. The game is free.
That's the thing that's crazy to me about that game, because I downloaded and played a couple of rounds and
so
was like, all right, this is... You know, yeah. I'll play this when we're all playing
exactly.
It.
It's fun to play with friends. It's super fun because it's just a stupid little shooter. The games are not super long, and it's fun to watch. When you get killed, it's fun to watch, you know, spectate your buddies who are still in the match. And then when everybody dies, you boot out to the lobby, fire up another game, 60 seconds, you're playing again. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, and that was the... the game was perfectly accessible, and... I don't know that I really got all the building stuff, but I only played a couple of rounds, like I said,
that,
and most of
that
it was
took
just
the most.
Like, how the fuck does this work? Yep, you know?
That the building is the thing that took the longest to get because the controls to access it are not clear right away. So there's almost like tiers to it. Like I ended up preferring to do it with mouse and keyboard because I thought the building was easier that way. It works pretty good on the controller, but with the mouse, the scroll wheel... So, like, your, you know, WASD or your feet, Q, I forget what Q does, E opens your build inventory, and when you tap E, it changes from the mouse wheel scrolling through your weapons that you currently have in your inventory to scrolling through the different types of things you can build, like a wall, a platform, steps, a roof, and those are, like, your 4 basic kind of primitives. Once you put one of those up, you can hover over it and hit a different key, which I think was Q at that point, and you can edit it. So if you put up a wall, it's getting built, you look at it again, you hit the edit button, and then you can change it to have a door in it, or you can change it to have a window in it. And you can do all this stuff really quick once you know kind of where it is in the scrolling pattern. So there are people that just build like a 5-story tall tower with like little sniper ports on it, and they do it in like 30 seconds. It's amazing. They just, and you can tell they're just, they know exactly where it is on the mouse, and they just flip to it and flip to it, flip to it, flip, flip, and they just spin around and all this shit just pops up. There's some people who are really good at Fortnite.
But, oh, sure. Yeah. And they're all like 14.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And my son's 8 and he's got it, you know? We get a couple games. It's funny. I had to. I was like, "Dude, you gotta calm down. Mom's not gonna let us play this game anymore." Because he started shouting, "I gotta kill!" Like, no,
no, don't say that.
Relax. But yeah, we get like
get a water gun, yeah. Squirt him when he says something wrong.
Dead. It's just a video game. So
say I got one.
I got one. Yeah, I killed that motherfucker. You
know. Right. You know. I ripped off his head and shit down his dead neck.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've had a couple like 4 or 5 kill games, which is better than I do in PUBG. So yeah, it's fun. We all got to get together and do like a group Fortnite night on it sometime. I don't see it replacing PUBG in any way for the, you know, hey, let's all play a shooter tonight game, but. It's a fun diversion for sure, and it's totally free, so why not?
Semi-unrelated, but the game I wish were free so we could all play it is Overwatch.
Yeah.
I wish they would go free to play with that finally, so because I've played a not a ton of it, but a fair amount of Overwatch and really enjoy it. I think it's a really fun like team-based shooter that I would like to play with people I know. And no one I know but me has that game.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I did like the free weekend or something on it, and I've done that a couple times, and it's cool. I just never shelled out the cash for it. Free would be the right price.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's 30-ish bucks, something like that. Still,
and that's the thing. I mean, with Fortnite, it is 100% supported by cosmetics. Yeah.
Right, you just can't argue with the price, you know. Yeah. I don't give a shit about the cosmetics, so it'll never cost me nothing.
It's literally the best free game I think I've ever played. Like, it's phenomenal how well put together it is for the price tag of $0.
Baron America's Army?
Sorry.
I was trying to think, yeah, what is the best free game I've ever played? Like, outside of, like, oh, I'm a subscriber to PlayStation Plus, so they get, you know, those downloads. Just a pure free game. Path of Exile's pretty good.
Yeah, I might have to change my statement.
That's pretty good free game.
Fortnite, it's fun. I never thought I would be on the bandwagon, but yeah, it's a good game.
Hot take from the Shotcast, Fortnite
just
is
in time, riding that wave of popularity right to the top.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wait till those 6 streams start. Going the opposite direction here. I fell into a real deep hole with a game called House Flipper. Where for about 24 hours, that's all I played. Like I slept, but that was about it. And a solid like 12 hours into that game real fast.
Is it like...
And it was...
Is it the HGTV? Like, is that who produced that?
No. It's some indie developer. Who the fuck knows who made this game? It's probably some Videodrome shit. I'm going to have a stomach vagina before I know it.
You're going to have a bone-flesh gun.
It is.
Yourself with.
Yeah, right. Long live the new flesh. But it is, no one for real made it, you know, it's not like a big developer or a TV channel or nothing. It's kind of like a Viscera Cleanup Detail. There's a hint of that in House Flipper. But so the premise of the game is you start off in an office, you can take jobs to do sort of lightweight contracting for people, like going into their houses and cleaning it up after college kids had their run of the place and shit. And, or like, hey, we need to knock down a wall and build another one and make this a bathroom and stuff like that. And the process of doing that is you know, travel to this house and you have a set of tools off of a radial menu that allows you to select, you know, brooms and you can select a vacuum in the case of roaches, which you will find, you know, shit like that. And you basically just go through and clean up the house. And when you get into the house flipping part of it, you buy houses. And you there's sort of a set list of buyers that have very particular needs from a house. So you can buy a house and then renovate it to some degree. Like, the tool set's pretty simple. But also, I think that's part of what makes it all work is that it doesn't get too overcomplicated with anything. But you can basically tailor a house to meet the needs of a buyer that you already know and get the best price, but you put it up for market, and then all these AI buyers, you know, bid on the house in auction, and, you know, you get bonus money for having met certain needs. And it is like going into a fucking trance state. Playing that game, it is like I had a list of podcasts that I want to catch up on, and I listened to every goddamn one of them while I was playing House Flipper.
So what is like the mechanic for cleaning up? Is it just point and click, or
yeah, it's just point and click. It's like, hey, I pull out this tool and then I point and click, and that's kind of the same with, like, when you got to build a shower or something. It's just you buy the shower, you place it in the one spot a shower will go. And then there's this series of, like, oh, I got to click on this screw. And now I got to click on this screw. And then I've got to unscrew this. And then I've got to attach this hose using the mouse.
Is any of but this it's still accurate in any way? Like, is this simulating actual plumbing at all?
It is accurate in the way that the game operation is accurate to surgery. You know, like I said, this is all real basic kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's you know, WASD to move, and then you got your an E to interact with stuff on occasion, and then your list of tools that you can use the middle mouse for, or, like I said, there's kind of a radial menu that you can bring up and select whatever you need. And it's just really, I don't know. It scratched some itch I have for that game that's kind of monotonous, but is also, there are elements of creativity to it that I really like. You know, it's not full on like Sims level of here's all kinds of different ways that you can decorate a place. Basically, it's like, well, I can clean it, I can change the floors, I can change the wallpaper or wall tiles, and I can add a few basic appliances, and that's it. But I can also tear down walls and expand this and make, you know, this living room that is in this kind of crazy shape, and there's some basic furnishings you can throw in and stuff like that. And like I said, man, it was just one of those games where over that Memorial Day weekend, before I finally got my dumbass out of the house and went to where delicious brisket was waiting, I for like the 24 hours leading to that, I just played House Flipper, and it, you know, it became very zen. It was one of the most relaxing 24 hour periods I've had in months.
The opposite of actual house flipping.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is it's just like, oh, I got to go clean this. Okay. And like, cleaning every room is going to take about 15 minutes. And then I'm going to go room to room and then, you know, decide if I'm going to decorate or paint the walls or all that kind of shit. And it was really fun in a totally mindless way. But, you know.
Could you, like, just grab a cleaning tool and then just, like, wiggle the mouse all over and just, like, hammer the mouse button and just, like, super fast clean the room? Or is there, like a...
Oh, John, that's going to be upgrading the mop 3-4 times to get to something like that. Because you can upgrade all your tools and negotiations and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, there's some progression mechanics in that game.
Last
time
I was flipping a house, I thought to myself, you know, I need a better mop.
Oh, man. One of my favorite things about the game, though, is that they give you scenarios of like, hey, you're going to buy this house. And the buyer will tell you like, oh, I think that there was a tenant there. But I don't know if he ever left or not. And you go into the place and the houses and the way that they've arranged the devastation of these homes kind of tells its own story. Like you'll go into a place and it's like, oh, there are pizza and liquor bottles literally everywhere. And the place is now infested with roaches. And that's why the house was so cheap. And it's stuff like that that I think is kind of like these little touches that just give it enough personality to make it feel like you're not just pointing at things and clicking on them when in reality that's all you're doing.
Have you tried the free DLC, the Apocalypse Flipper DLC?
Sure, where you build a bunker for someone and stock it with food and propane. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That happens in that game.
Propane accessories.
Uh-huh. Okay. Clean burning propane. Oh. Yeah. It's real fun. I mean, there's weird dumb shit like that. Like one of the houses that you end up buying is like a former musician, like a teen singer. And so the house is fucking all pink and decorated frilly and shit like that, and you gotta totally renovate it. And it's kind of fun. Again, it's totally mindless. It's not a game that you just sit down and play that game. It's a game that you play while something else is going on. Hmm. And in my case, it was like, oh, here's a bunch of podcasts that I want to catch up on. And listening to podcasts and playing that game was like having my brain massaged.
Could go for one of those.
I got to tell you, man, it was all right. But I had to put it down. I had to step away. I was like, I can't. I haven't played it since.
Took a full-on brisket just to pull you away from this shit, huh?
Right. And I had to. And after that, I was like, man, I can't do that to myself because it's too tempting to play something and just listen to a podcast or watch, a video on YouTube or something like that. And I'll have like 2-3 hours just slip away from me. And so instead, I found another idle game, which I won't get into. We'll talk about it some other time. But I also picked up on that Humble Bundle included with that package a while back was Elder Scrolls Online.
Ah.
And so that's kind of been my idle game of choice over the past like week or so. If I ain't doing nothing really, it's like, I'll jump in and play some of this. And
is that essentially just Skyrim with other people?
Yeah, kinda. It's certainly probably the best MMO I've played, which means it doesn't immediately present itself as an MMO. Where I don't want to get too deep into it. I'll play a little bit more of it. And we'll talk about it later. But there's not a whole lot of like, hey, go kill 10 of these things and come back and talk to me kind of quests. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's a narrative arc to it. And anyway, I've had a good time with it as far as I think I've put about a dozen hours into it now and have been enjoying that. But yeah, that was the thing that saved me from House Flipper.
Because otherwise, $20.
What the House Flipper is?
Both of them, actually.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Spend $40 and never talk to anyone again.
Okay.
There you go. That's my advice to you. Right?
I am down. Tired of people.
So I'll tell you what. Let's
you want to talk about that season?
Let's talk about the game we've all kind of been playing here of late, which is it's Microsoft Studios. Sea of Thieves.
I don't think they really want that on there.
Right.
It's Rare's Sea of Thieves. Yeah. Okay.
The menu system clearly programmed by Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, it feels better lately. Maybe it's that last Windows update or something, yeah. But it feels like now when you send me an invite, like, I get it and can get to the game. But, yeah, no, it's a real piece of shit. Don't let that fool you.
Instead of having the invite system in-game, you have to do it through... You can invite from the game, but you get a Windows notification in Windows 10, because you can only play this game on Windows 10 and Xbox One.
Which is also stupid,
yeah.
But...
Whatever.
You know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Your exclusives.
Right. Yeah. And, but, so, I think we all played it with the Game Pass deal, which is Microsoft's sort of, like, hey, give us, you know, $10 a month, and here's a bunch of games you can play for free, including, you know, day one exclusives.
Yeah.
And... The cross between Xbox One and the PC is kind of thin in terms of the number of games available on the PC. Like, you're not getting your Halos and that kind of stuff on PC.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. But that being said, Sea of Thieves was part of that Game Pass deal. And, yeah, it has to be Windows 10. But if you meet those criteria... then the game is included with that stuff. So just worth pointing out for people who may want to try it after we're talking about it.
It shouldn't be that complicated.
You can get in at a low price.
Yeah.
It
should not be.
Yeah.
But if you do meet those criteria, you can play it for super cheap.
The easiest way to play it is on an Xbox One, if you own one. PC, you have to buy it. You have to go to the Microsoft Store app in Windows 10, and you have to buy it. You also have to have an account, an Xbox account, in the Xbox app. And then the game is like a separate app that runs. Like it's
a lot of steps.
Move on to actual gameplay in a minute. But my biggest gripe with this game was I was trying to play it the other night by myself, and it kept getting an error saying mismatch, and I needed to download the latest update. And I couldn't figure out how to do that for the life of me. I had to look it up on the internet, and apparently to update the game, you need to open the Microsoft Store, go to the game page for Sea of Thieves, and then it will detect that you have the old version and then begin to download it.
Yeah, that's real dumb.
Yeah. Real painful.
Yeah. So, it's like... Thanks what? Thanks to the internet for having that information out there. But why can't I just run the game and then say update instead? Like, it's throwing an error. It knows I need an update. So say, would you like to update? Yes.
Yeah. For a game that seems to do so much with elegance, the getting signed in, getting a party together, like everything before you're all in the game together. And I don't know if that's Microsoft's fault. I don't know if that's Rare's fault. Yeah. I don't know what the problem is. But it's, like Justin was saying, it's just too many steps.
Yep. Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. But.
But.
Once you're in the game, it's all right.
It's all right. It's pretty good.
Well, Justin, you're the one, like, I think the last time we talked, John and I had played this, but you had not. And... How do you find it? Like, what are your takeaways from that game in the time you've had with it?
In the time I've spent with it, I will say that I don't engage heavily at all with the systems and the quests, and I don't get barely invested in that. Because generally we're playing it, and there's four of us, and you guys take care of all that stuff, which I think is a positive in this game. I think it makes it easier to have that friend who just wants to, you know, sail the boat.
Be on the boat, yep.
Yeah, or run around.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a plus. I absolutely love driving the boat and shooting the cannons, and I think those mechanics are well fleshed out. You know, I've never felt like the boat's ever done anything weird. Everything that's ever happened is... You know, like, that whole system just works. Obviously, the water is amazing. All the effects there are amazing. Driving through a storm is amazing. Visually, the game is great. The art style is... You can take it or leave it. You know, you're either going to like it or you're not going to like it, I think. But there's nothing wrong with it. And for what's going on in that game, you don't need some kind of hyper-realistic, you know, characters. It's an arcadey game.
Yeah.
You know.
It is. An arcadey sandbox that I feel like you get out of it what you put into it. Like, if you want to just roam around and go attack other boats and you enjoy that, you can find a lot of enjoyment in this game just doing that for quite a while. And then I actually kind of like going around digging up treasures and stuff, and especially when we get like the little riddle quests where there's just a small, simple puzzle you got to solve, and finding the right spot to dig, and, you know, fighting off the skeletons is not super difficult, but it's still kind of fun. Mostly what I like about that game is that you can kind of make anything you want happen. You can just do crazy shit. Like, I rammed my sloop into a galleon full of guys intentionally, and then I had placed a gunpowder barrel way out on the bow of my sloop, and after I slammed into their boat, I ran down the bow, grabbed it as I ran past, and then just ran onto their boat with a gunpowder barrel and tried to get as far down below deck as I could. And they were shooting at me, and eventually I exploded, but it punched a bunch of holes in their boat. So it's just like a,
that's pretty
fun. A fucking kamikaze mission. It was great, you know. So you can do shit like jump in the water and let go of a gunpowder barrel, and it will float to the surface, and when it hits their hull, it's like a mine going off. It blows up. So it's just fun to fuck with people. I've like scuttled my own ship at an outpost and then not taken a mermaid to a new ship, and I just hang out at the outpost, and I figured out how to like jump up the geometry on what, like the bar, get on the roof, and then I hid behind the chimney and waited for another boat to come around with people turning their treasures in, and I ran on their boat and grabbed a piece of treasure and turned it in before they noticed I was doing it.
That's some good pirate shit.
Yeah, it was just funny. And then immediately they just like start unloading on me, and then I took a couple of them out, and it's just fun. You can just kind of make your own enjoyment. So, and then we tried the Bo and I did the Hungering Deep expansion, where it's kind of a series of clues. It's a little adventure you go on to unlock the ability to spawn the, what is it, a megalodon, a giant prehistoric shark that you can,
yeah, then, I believe so, yeah,
you can then battle. That's interesting. I looked up how that works. You have to have 5 people all in the spot where this thing spawns. You all have to go there and play the drum that you get at the end of this quest in order to make it spawn. So you'd need a full galleon plus at least 1 person in a sloop for it to spawn in the game. So I've seen video of the fight. It doesn't seem particularly, you know, crazy or anything. It reminds me a lot of the Kraken fight that you can have in the game as well, which is just kind of, it's more of a spectacle than anything.
Yeah. I suppose if you did nothing, eventually it would sink your ship. But.
Yeah. But it was cool. It's just fun. I've played probably about as much of that game solo as I have played with you guys. And it's solo, I just kind of, I'll go out, get a few treasures, and then I just kind of fuck around and do shit like ram my boat into other boats. And there were some guys parked at a dock, and so I just came in full speed, and I didn't hit their boat, but I ran my boat so far up on the island that the entire thing was out of the water. And then the physics in the game slowly like forced it back down into the water, where it then sank. And the guys are just sitting on the back of their boat, like they've all got their guns pointed at me, but you could tell they were just dumbfounded, like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And I just trashed my boat on the shore behind him, and I hopped off, and I just like waved, you know. It's got like the Grand Theft Auto vibe, where I would commit suicide
the helicopter
in front of
yeah.
people all the time. Yeah.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so hard, but it really does.
Something about it is just funny.
Yeah, there is something inherently funny about that. I don't know what it is, this so, virtual it, martyrdom of yours.
Yeah, and this game just allows you to just do crazy shit, you know? So, and you can talk in the game. Can, you know, have like a push to talk thing going on and taunt players, and yeah, I've been having a good time with that game.
Yeah, I really have too. I've played a little bit solo, like, you know, probably 3-4 hours by myself, and I enjoy that just fine. But you know, obviously that game is built for interaction. Yeah. And you know, I think it was the last time we played, wasn't it, where we had the fight with the other sloop and sunk it. You killed the dudes who swam over, and
It was a whole adventure.
It took like 40 minutes. Like, they were chasing us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we parked it. We put our sails all the way up and just made it so we could spin the boat. And I just kept spinning the boat, and Bo just kept unloading cannonballs on them. And yeah, that was cool.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a great time.
And it's so goddamn pretty when you're out on the waves. The water just looks phenomenal. The boats are rocking up and down. The way that the cannons fire is really satisfying. When you hit their boat, it like plays music. And you know you got a good hit, and then the next time it plays music, like the chord goes a little higher, and it, like the intensity goes up, and then, you know, their boat starts sinking, and you see them scrambling around, and it's just fucking mayhem. It's great.
Yeah, there are really satisfying moments in that game. But unfortunately, I don't think any of those satisfying moments come from sort of the authored material in the game.
Yeah. And I just,
and that's the big problem.
Those experiences are great and are my favorite part of the game, but they're not built to last. Like, that shit will get old.
Yeah. They need to, and I think they're doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I like the inclusion of the flags to sort of project your intent, whether you're sailing as a pirate or saying you're friendly or whatever. All that stuff, I think it's fun, and it's a good idea, but I think ultimately there needs to be more stuff to do that I could go do as a single player and have a great time, because no matter what, if I'm in a combat scenario, you pretty much have to be the spoiler. You just have to kamikaze it, because... Oh, yeah. There's no way you're going to manage steering and sails and cannonballs in a way that's going to get you out of a fight with a, you know, fully manned ship.
Yeah.
But
you can fuck with people pretty good, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Not denying that.
You can be a major fucking nuisance to even a galleon as a solo sloop. You can ruin their day. Like, I had one where I went sailing past an outpost, and there was a galleon parked there, and I was just going by, and they took a shot at me. So I sailed out to sea pretty far, anchored, and just pointed my boat and just fucking rained cannonballs down on them until I was out of cannonballs.
That's a good time.
And then they sailed away from the outpost. They didn't want none of that shit, because I was getting hits, you know? I wasn't doing, like, waterline damage, so it would sink super fast, but I was wailing on their boat pretty hard. And they just fucking took off. I must have shot like 45 cannonballs at him. It was hilarious.
That last combat round we had, where I was on the cannons, and I finally felt like I got that waterline shot down.
Yeah.
And, oh man, that felt good.
Once you find the range on it, you just keep it up.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Sea of Thieves? I feel like we're kind of damning it with faint praise some, but
yeah, I
feel like that's kind of the game it is.
I can't wait to see what they do with it. Like, I own it. I will come back to it, you know, whenever they add something to try it out, but they need to do that quickly. Like, I think Destiny is wrestling with this issue right now, where they did a pretty good job of a whole bunch of content and then just kind of nothing. And, you know, you've got this game, you need to pump shit out for it. Like, you need a better way to, some sort of mission creation. Like, Sea of Thieves needs to be an adventure game. You need some stories to go on. You need some quests, even if it's just kind of like fetch quests or whatever. But, you know, there's some interesting locations in there. After you signed off that other night, the island that it respawned us on, there was a cave. If you went all the way up to the top of the island, there was a cave in the middle of it. That just dropped down like a donut hole in the middle of the island. And if you jumped down in there, you could go way down below the island, and there were like all these subterranean caverns with like lights and waterfalls, and I fought a couple of skeletons down there. Like, there's places in that game where you can tell there's going to be stuff. But it's just not in there yet, so...
Yeah, and I feel like it needs more random encounter kind of stuff. Sort of like the Kraken.
Yeah.
Maybe not that extreme, but there needs to be...
something
more stuff like that, where it's just like, oh, okay, well, one time out of three,
yeah.
when I play the game, I'm going to run into something fucking crazy. And I may have run into it before, but when I run into it, it's always a big deal. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's weird the way that game is set up, where it's, you earn gold for running missions, and you can use that gold to buy cosmetics. But that's kind of like the only progression. Like, there's a level, there's an experience level you're accruing, and then when you get to like level 50 in all three of the areas, you get access to like some uber pirate zone. But I don't, you know, I don't believe like the mission types change up all that much. So yeah, they've definitely got work to do. But what is there? There's some real phenomenal base to that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there are great times to be had with it for sure. And that's another game that needs to be like $20 and pay for some cosmetics. Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here, and when we return, we will talk about the news and the Electronic Entertainment Exposition.
It's three E's.
E3, that's what they call it.
Oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Edutainment, John. Yep.
My life fades. The vision dims. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Ruined dreams. Wasted land. But most of all, I remember the podcasts. The man we called Witch. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time. A time when the doomsday clock ticked ever closer to Armageddon. You can still find The Witch versus the Doomsday Clock podcast by searching for WYCH on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and on your Android device. Memories may decline, but movies live forever.
Welcome back to the Shotcast, everybody. Now, we have come to the portion of the show that I value the most, because I don't know things. And when I don't know things, I turn to John Dolan to tell me things. John, tell me video game things, please.
I would like to preface this evening by saying that I think almost everything we're going to talk about tonight is a rumor. Except for maybe the last story that I have here.
All right.
It's that time of year. It's the E3 that's coming up.
One of my favorite times of year, when you don't know everything, but you know some stuff. And for me, I'm still holding out for the surprise. I hope there's still a surprise in the bunch somewhere. And we'll get into it more here in a bit. But there are definitely some things that I'm very excited about.
I feel like there's consistently, every E3, there's always something where it's like, it leaks out and it looks pretty sweet, and then you wait for like 2 weeks to finally find out what is it, and the rumor mill's been going bananas, and it could be this, it could be something like this, and everybody's like, yeah, that sounds fucking cool, God, I hope it's like that, and then it turns out, nah, it's just like a shooter. It's another one of those games I've already played.
Fucking tower defense.
Yeah, I fucking hate that. So, I like the hype sometimes, but I feel like we'll just jump in here, like, not even E3 related, but somebody discovered a listing on Blizzard's website advertising for a job working at Blizzard with someone. They need an artist to, quote, build atmospheric dungeons for an, quote, unannounced Diablo project, which made the internet cream its collective jeans and go, oh, they're making a new Diablo? Oh, my God.
I mean, of course. All right.
Yeah.
A couple of things about this. One, of course they are.
Yes.
Because they would be fools not to at some point make a Diablo 4. Diablo 3
We should push that button again that makes billions of dollars. We should push that button again.
Right. How far down on the diagram of that curve have we gone so that Diablo 3 just isn't making us money anymore? Yeah. And then we hit the Diablo 4 button.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has been
a full year since they released the last expansion for Diablo 3, which was the Rise of the Necromancer stuff.
Yeah, which was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that it's been a year, and that game came out in 1981. I don't remember.
I mean, it's been a while. That game's been... I had it on PC.
Has it really
was great
been
there.
6 years?
It,
is that possible?
I mean, that game's been around, man. That was on the it on the 360? I know it was on the PS3.
Man, I don't remember.
It was back in them heady days.
Yeah. So I'm down for a Diablo 4. Like, yes, please.
Yeah. I honestly, the other rumor that I've heard is, oh, that's a Diablo 2 remaster. And kind of fine with that, too.
Yeah.
You wanna remaster one of the greatest games ever? Go on.
Diablo 3 originally released on PC May 15th, 2012.
Yeah.
There's not much other than this. This is why I hate the rumor news. It's like, hey, did you hear about that thing? Huh?
I wonder if this time, though, like, let's presume for a moment that there is a Diablo 4.
Okay.
Do you think they develop PC and console side by side this time? Because
yeah, I was just looking at the Wikipedia page for it, and that was a while.
Yeah.
PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 was September of 2013. PlayStation 4, Xbox One released August 2014. So over a 3 year period, released the game multiple times.
Mm-hmm. That's some Rockstar shit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I own Diablo more than once.
Oh, yeah. I've got it for the PC, and I think I held off for the PS4. Maybe not.
I did as well. I own Diablo 3 twice.
Yeah. And have no regrets. I think...
No, that console version's pretty goddamn good.
I think I may like it more. I know.
Go back and listen to the previous 64 episodes of this show.
Right.
And you'll learn everything you need to know about Diablo 3.
It's all too true. Yeah, those early
episodes.
I think
we have entire episodes dedicated just to that game, yeah.
So whatever it is, I'm excited, but I am curious if this time around they're not like, look, the consoles treated us right. And we need... Which also would imply to me that those same console controls would be available for the PC release, more interestingly.
Yeah, they never did do that, did they? Yeah.
Never.
I actually rather like the console controls for... Made Diablo a real casual-ass sit-back-and-relax game while you murder thousands of demons.
Yeah, it was the house flipper of its day. No, I would love to see the option to switch between the two controls.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
So there's no reason not to do that.
I'm a greedy Diablo fan. I want it all.
Yeah. Previously, they were looking for a new game director in a post in 2015 to, quote, lead the Diablo series into the future. So they've been posting stuff for this game for a while, but it appears they've gotten to art. So
make it look like something.
I don't imagine this is something that's going to be released anytime soon. Like, several years from now, we will get Diablo 4.
Yeah, if you would think, what, 2020?
Two at the earliest. 2 years at the earliest.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can wait.
Yeah.
I like Diablo.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a handful of things to live for, and that's one of them.
More rumors?
Go on.
Hitman 2 has been leaked ahead of its official reveal. A logo for Hitman 2 was recently spotted on WBGames.com. The image has since been removed.
Uh-oh.
And then WB Games tweeted, "Let the countdown begin. 72 hours. Watch the live reveal." No more information from WB Games. And then they said, "Good afternoon, 47. The profiles have been uploaded. Your next target is dot, dot, dot." I'll play Hitman 2.
Yeah.
I totally believe that that's probably coming out soon, I would imagine. I don't know. What I don't know is if it's going to be like a expansion to the existing Hitman or if they're doing like a Hitman 2.
Yeah, I would like to see it get a little bit grander in scope, I guess. You know what I mean? If there is a Hitman 2. I don't want it to just feel like, oh, this is just another mission pack. The exact same thing.
Yeah, some kind of a leap forward, either in map design or... I still would love to play some co-op Hitman.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever do that with this series, but man, I think that would be fun.
That would be real good.
Yep. Certainly you go down there and buy him a drink, and I'll drop the chandelier on his head. Yep.
I mean, hasn't anyone always wanted to be the Mission Impossible team from, like, the first?
Yeah.
Possible, you know?
Yeah. I'm just glad Hitman's back, I guess.
Yeah, are they going to do seasons? I guess they haven't announced.
No, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it's just the logo.
People found this logo, and then they basically confirmed it through their cheeky little tweets here, and that's all we know. I'm sure we'll find out something this weekend.
Man, yeah. I'm so glad that, is it IO? Is that the name of the studio? That they got that property and are able to continue it the way they
Square,
saved it.
Square Enix sold it to them, like let them become their own company and retain all rights to the Hitman series. That's a pretty nice thing to do, considering they totally probably didn't have to do that. But yeah, they've partnered with the WB to be their distributor, so...
Sure. That's probably a good move for WB, too, because the other thing they have is, Shadow of War? The Lord of the Rings stuff?
Yep. They did Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
What the hell else have they done recently? I can't remember.
The Batman
stuff.
Did
they do the Just Cause? Did they do that?
I don't know. I
can't remember.
Yeah, but all the Rocksteady Batman stuff is WB.
No. The rumor I'm probably the most excited about is Fallout 76.
Yes, son.
I think I'm mostly... So there was... Did you guys see any posts about the stream that Bethesda did for this where they just broadcast a chair in a room with like a Vault Boy bobblehead sitting on a table for like 24 hours straight?
Yeah, and thousands of people.
Thousands of viewers. Literally watching nothing happen. Yeah. But then every once in a while, somebody would, like, sit down in the chair and drink a coffee for a little while. And then I guess a real exciting part of the stream was at one point some balloons floated into the frame and then floated back out. And then at the end of it, they said, yeah, we're releasing this new game, Fallout 76. We'll tell you more at E3.
Well, there is the little teaser that they threw together as well.
Yeah, it's... So, mostly, I think what's happened since they announced this, like, most of the information is Fallout fans digging through the lore of Fallout and finding out that Vault 76, which is the focus of this game, was in the history, was the first vault to open. And apparently it was a control vault that was just filled with Vault Tech employees, and they were slated to be the first ones out after the bombs fell. Is it in this article that timeline-wise, Fallout 76 will take place like 100 or 150 years before Fallout 3? So if the bombs, like the... So Fallout's kind of always trapped in, like, that late 50s aesthetic, early 60s. So it would be, like, the 1970s would be when this Fallout would take place, whereas Fallout 3 was like in 2021 something, or I forget what it was exactly, but far into the future. And the biggest rumor with this is that people are saying that it's either going to be a co-op or multiplayer experience, which sounds really cool.
Yeah, the comparisons were to Rust and DayZ.
Yeah, I heard that, and then I've also seen articles that are saying no, it's people, leakers of this information have said no, it's actually not like Rust, and it's not an MMO. But then I've heard both ways, so who knows what the hell it's going to be. I think a Fallout game with like kind of a DayZ open vibe where it's multiplayer, that could be all right. I'm curious how they would run VATS in a multiplayer.
Right.
I don't think situation. You could.
Unless it was cooperative. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
But there's not much else out there about it.
My real quick guess is that it is, you know, 4-player co-op, but that co-op is completely against AI.
Yeah.
And that you're saving a game and you're all loading back into a game.
You've got like a persistent base maybe that you're building up. And
maybe it's just like a drop in, drop out. Like one of you.
One person can play it, and then, yeah, as people like spawn at the base.
Do you want to join my world? Or it was like Borderlands was like that.
Yeah.
Like you could either. One person would kind of host, and you were, you know, nailed to their spot in the storyline. And if you had already done those missions, you had to do them again. So maybe something along those lines.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm down. What I'm really interested is if it is multiplayer. I mean, Fallout games are notoriously buggy as shit, so that should lend itself to some interesting animated GIFs at the very least.
Yeah, I guess they're using that new Fallout 4 engine, so.
Yeah, and so that's kind of this is pretty quick. Like, Fallout 4 came out, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And I never finished it. Like, I was having a really good time with it, and then it was one of those games where other games came along, and I just kind of never dug down. But I still think it probably wasn't my favorite. I really liked New Vegas a lot.
Fallout 3 New Vegas as a
those
companion
two, yeah.
pieces are impressive pieces of work.
Yes, I agree. Fallout 4 was a great game. There's a lot of cool shit going on in there, but like a lot of the base building type stuff was not fully necessary, I guess. Like, it was fun. You could engage with it and do some cool shit, but I don't think it affected the world in any way. So if maybe that's going to be more of an element in this game where it'll build up your base because fucking raiders come at night or something like that. So,
you know, one of the reasons I jumped into Elder Scrolls Online was because there had been some talk in the lead up to E3 of, well, maybe it's about time for another Elder Scrolls. And I heard people making the argument that, well, Elder Scrolls Online is sort of serving that purpose. And I wanted to see for myself if it really is that much of an Elder Scrolls kind of game. And it kind of is. You know, it's not quite a one-to-one comparison, but it's closer than I would have expected. And I think that the other takeaway from playing that recently, as far as Bethesda thinking about an online, you know, perhaps persistent world, is that they've managed to make that really graphically pretty impressive, so that you're still going to get the scope of something like, you know, a Fallout game or an Elder Scrolls game. I think they've already shown that they can kind of pull that off graphically in a large multiplayer kind of space. So yeah, I'm very curious about this game, like what it looks like. I mean, from the trailer it all looks like Fallout 4, but you know,
yeah,
that's all rendered shit, who knows. So yeah. I'm curious, like if it's online, what is the goal of the online game? Is it just going to be a big base builder? Is it going to have quest lines and all that stuff? I don't know.
I mean, it's Fallout, so they usually kind of go crazy with that shit. Like, because they've added that base building stuff, maybe they're going to factor in some sort of management sim. I mean, they've got you know, kind of the database version of that built in a Fallout shelter, so they could incorporate that into the actual game and have it be a function of it as well.
Yeah.
If you really want to just make shit up and totally guess at stuff.
I thought about it just right? being like a 3D Fallout shelter, and that sounded yeah. kind of fine to me.
But also, it's totally regular Fallout, too. Like, you go out and do quests and, you know, just have that as another thing. Like, you're still running this vault, but...
Yeah. Well, I work with a guy who is one of the biggest Fallout fans that I've ever met. And so he was laying the 76 stuff on me as well. And he was like, and did you further know that I think it's Vault 77 was an isolation vault. So it was just one dude and a bunch yeah, of puppets.
Yeah.
And he went, obviously, fucking crazy. Yeah. And he was like, maybe that's who the protagonist of this game is. Like, he's going to Vault 76, and you're playing this crazy dude. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think so, but I think I think I want to play that game.
Let's see. There's this tweet here from the article. Source inside Bethesda here. This is leaked on 4chan. It's open world, improvised weapons and base building centered. Will feature a scavenger from surface as main character, hence why Vault seems empty other than main character and trailer. Co-op, but not MMO or Rust-like. Bethesda are in panic mode at these rumors and want to release further info soon to cut it off. Expect a leak from a more reputable source soon. It's based along the interstate in Northern Virginia. It's still an RPG. Upgraded Fallout 4 creation engine. Will announce TES title at... E3, strong emphasis in building and improvised weapons as opposed to weapon customization, as we saw in 4, will come with a phone app. Voice protagonist is back. 6 factions, 3 of which are notables that we have seen in previous games. Numerous retcons. Laying groundwork for Fallout 5, which is already in the works. This is what the Fallout 4 build system was a test for. No external mods outside of, I don't know what CC means. They're going to try and cut that off at the pass and sell it as a security thing, citing stolen content and adult mods. Believe it or don't, mark my words, we'll be deleting account shortly. Some real cloak and dagger mm-hmm. shit here.
I like that, like, burn after reading stuff.
Yeah.
That's interesting. If according to him, that, to me, the bigger news of that tweet is not, hey, Fallout 76 is what they had in mind when they were making Fallout 4. It's, yeah. Oh, by the way, there's also an Elder Scrolls game being announced.
Yeah. We'll know in a couple days.
I mean, can you imagine, John?
Uh-huh.
I mean, what if they lay it down? Like, we got them both coming. We got a Fallout game coming. You're going to love it. It's going to be out this fall or some shit. And then next year.
I saw somewhere, like, rumor. Another fan noted that the release date for UK Amazon listing has changed to August 1st. Although this no longer seems to be the case, a viewer of mine reached out to Amazon support yesterday when the date was July 31st, and they're saying the info on the listing is correct, he posted. So it's just all rumor. So I would assume, like, Bethesda is in the mode of saying, here's a new game, and it's out in 3 months. Like, they've done that a couple times now, so that wouldn't shock me if they did that again with this.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you didn't know you wanted to be excited for. Now lose your mind for 3 months. Now,
throw us your money, because the hype won't die down before it comes out. It's pretty clever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pre-ordered today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you play that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm super interested. I can't wait to find out what that fucking thing is.
Yeah, it's one of these... I'm getting real close to being done with all my classes I've been taking lately, and... Fallout 4 is something I should write down on a post-it to get back to once I have more free time. It was a real good game. I remember specifically liking how the synths fell apart when you shot them with a shotgun.
Yeah, satisfying.
Kind of a metal clank, and they just, like, rip apart. It was real good. Yeah. Fortnite is rumored to be coming to the Switch.
I mean, how could it
that
not?
That seems to make sense, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great, but at the same time, what if you don't have an internet connection? Can't play your game.
Well, yeah, but that's any online game, you know.
I know, but it's a Switch. It's portable. I want it to work everywhere.
Right.
What we need
sure.
is global wireless internet. I'm sure there will be no problems associated with that whatsoever.
Right.
Elon's working on it.
Yeah, the human race will just come together. Everybody will hold hands. We will put it together. Everybody will have equal access. It will be free. Everything will be great. We can all play Fortnite together. Chill the fuck out.
Honestly, after seeing all the things that have gone down of late, I'm more of the mind of fewer people on the internet, really. Like, let's take it away from some of these motherfuckers who have it already.
What are you talking about? Nothing new here, or nothing major here, but it was... I can't remember how this... I think somebody... It appeared on the Nintendo Switch eShop. Here it is. Specifically listed Fortnite by name, indicating its inclusion in the system's library of titles may be imminent. So, one of these leaked by showing up on a store somewhere. There was the leak with the... Like, all of this shit started. Like, the first kind of big E3 leak was the Walmart posting where they, like, listed a whole bunch of fucking games on there.
Yeah.
Like, what was the shock? Rage 2. That was the huge shock. Everybody's like, Rage fucking 2? What?
Yeah.
Really?
Who? We haven't thought about Rage and Alt now 20 years.
Yeah. So, but yeah, these leaks are always interesting where it's like somebody... What's the other big one that always happens, though? The ratings board will, like, list a game on their website that they're, you know, currently previewing or reviewing for its whatever rating they're going to give it. And that's how the game leaks to the public. That's always a good one. I mean, there's no doubt this is happening. It'd be stupid not to put it on the Switch.
Yeah, and I can see the appeal of playing that handheld, you know? I mean, even if you're not... on the bus,
What I would be happy with, but they never do in these situations, and I know why, it's because it would take a lot of extra work, but it would be great if they made an ad hoc system for this, so a whole bunch of people could be in the same location, all pull out their Switch, and play Fortnite together on an ad hoc server, just against each other.
Sure, that there's no
super
way
cool.
Nintendo's ever going to do that.
No, I know. But God damn it, why not?
Yeah, it's weird that they don't think about some of the dumbest shit. You know, their online stuff still sounds like a nightmare.
Which you're going to have to start paying for soon.
Yeah, knock on wood, it'll be better following a paid service that they'll understand that with great power comes great responsibility and make that whole process a little easier, but... But yeah, I mean, the idea of just being able to throw down, you know, from your toilet.
Two kids. I mean, it's a fucking system seller. Two kids in the back seat both need their own Switch so that they can play Fortnite against each other so they'll shut up so mom and dad in the front seat can not go insane driving on the family vacation.
Right.
If they can just play Fortnite against each other or with each other against bots in the back of the fucking car, you got something.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying.
You're not wrong, but that would be a very un-Nintendo thing to do.
Yes.
To show any kind of foresight when it comes to multiplayer games and how best to handle that on their devices.
Yes.
Although, you know, Nintendo's another company I'm really looking forward to seeing their lineup. Just they always have some crazy shit that they've been working on in the lab that probably isn't a very good idea, but let's see.
Yeah. So Fortnite is currently the most popular game in the world. And there's a great article. It's on GameRant.com. It's titled, Fortnite is Influencing Children's Language in the UK. Apparently, Great Britain has it's called the BBC's 500 Words Competition, and it's a short story competition that, tasks children from ages 5 to 13 years old with writing a story. The 134,790 stories that were submitted this year have been analyzed, and although plastic and recycling were the most popular topics mentioned, Fortnite showed up in a great frequency. Fortnite was nestled right in with unicorns and slime among the most popular words in the essays, according to the BBC data. The use of the word game increased by 66% in the 2018 competition, up from 17,000 to 30,000 mentions this year. That's really interesting.
I wonder if they're weighing unicorn slime as a different phrase than unicorn and slime independently. Because I think unicorns
and slime are two independent terms that were also most popular right around the same level that Fortnite was. So Fortnite's ranking up with unicorns and slime.
Right. I'm just wondering where unicorn slime.
Oh, it, as a combo, like a as a an individual compound?
As a substance.
Yes.
Ranks on that list.
I think that's illegal. I don't think you can harvest unicorn slime anymore.
No one ever intends to.
It's just a situation that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, it just happens.
Ah, shit.
Ugh.
Fucking unicorn slime everywhere.
June, get them up.
Yeah, sure, they're fun when they're small.
Right. They hit,
when they grow up.
They hit maturity. They go
right, slime
right for the slime.
Stinks. It's nasty smelling stuff.
Sure, it's how they mark their territory.
Yeah, so Fortnite's pretty popular. Apparently, it's wormed its way into short story competitions in the UK.
Well, you know, we're all doomed. So
yeah,
this is whatever. Just another example.
I feel less upset about it now that I've kind of gotten into that game a little bit. Like, it was, I'm always like, the zeitgeist always kind of just rubs me the wrong way sometimes. It's like, ugh, this thing's, it's the hipster in me. It's like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. It's popular. Eh. But it's actually a pretty good game.
Yeah. But it is legitimately stunning.
It's a phenomenon.
Yeah. How much it's penetrated the culture.
Yeah, like not long ago we were like talking about, man, can you believe that PUBG has fucking 2 million concurrent players on it? You know, and Fortnite's like, yeah, 2 million, that's cute.
Right, let's make all the characters look like Hanna-Barbera characters.
Yeah.
And they sail
in. I got killed by like a Harley Quinn looking character who's carrying a big sucker instead of an axe.
Sure.
In that game. Yeah.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah. Blatant cover-up of a violent shooter.
Right.
But whatever. It's fine.
It's surprising that, like, when somebody gets shot, it just says nothing to see here.
It's actually really awesome when you kill somebody who's got a lot of loot. There's a fountain of colored guns come spraying out of their body, which just disappears.
Well, that's not a negative or positive reinforcement.
No. If you kill people, a rainbow of guns will appear.
Is it weird that I got erect when you said that?
Oh. Gun rainbow. The NRI is going to be a weird thing in a few years when they got to start advertising to these kids. It's going to be all rainbow flags.
Do you want to kill a heterosexual white male? The NRA is here to help. Free bonus clip if they're Presbyterian.
That's favoritism.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Over here we got who knows who. And then on this side you got favoritism.
Yeah. It's a bad system.
I'm going to skip to the last one here and then we'll do all this rumor stuff. All
right.
Xbox One X is getting its first discount ever. So if you want one of those, you can get it for $50 less than it previously was priced. It used to be $499.99 starting June 7th. the beginning of E3 is being discounted $50 to $449.99.
We're talking about Microsoft's lineup, right? Is that on our list?
I don't think I have
okay,
it.
Because let's... I've got a little bit of a rant about this.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're discounting the most... what is objectively the most powerful video game console on the market. It's still too expensive, but you're cutting the price on that. However, all the games I've heard about Microsoft's presentation in E3 is another Halo game and three different Gears of War games, one of which is going to be like a real-time strategy thing like Halo Wars. And it was just the most boring shit, like Sunset Overdrive 2. Stuff that was like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but there was nothing surprising or, to me, all that interesting. And it breaks my heart a little bit because I
oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, I don't dislike Microsoft. It's just I can't fathom why they're not rolling the dice and getting a little crazy at this point, because you're already behind. So why not shake things up? And that secretly what I hope is that their announcement at E3 is going to be about that Game Pass thing, where they're going to say, you know what, we're going to open up that library to PC gamers completely.
Yeah,
so that...
that would be huge. That would be fucking huge.
Right. Why wouldn't you? So if it's like, oh, I can download Red Dead Redemption and play it on my PC through Game Pass,
then,
I mean, now you got something.
You instantly get tens of millions of PC gaming enthusiasts to all give you $20 for your monthly Game Pass every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, happily so, you would have an incredible catalog, and that would give you so much more room to build your community back up, to start like making IP that are a little more off the beaten path. I mean, I guess you can argue the PlayStation 4 doing a God of War reboot isn't surprising, but the way they did it was surprising. And it turned out to be a great game. And it's that kind of stuff. I feel like the PlayStation 4, it doesn't have that one big system seller game, but they're approaching it like Netflix, where they have a lot of games for big audiences. It's just not one game for every player. Yeah. And I think that's how they're sort of winning this. It's like, hey, if you're a masochist, here's Bloodborne. You know, we've got all the shooters on our platform. If, you know, you want the single player experiences, here's The Last of Us 2, and, you know, here's God of War.
Microsoft's exclusives have just not been anything to write home about.
Yeah, you know, like, you give me another Halo, your exclusive is another Halo game and another Gears of War game. Who could give a fuck?
Yeah. I haven't played Gears of War games since the second one.
I could download Gears of War for free because of that Game Pass thing and have chosen not to.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never a big fan of that series. It was all right.
It just felt a little too...
The first one was kind of revolutionary on the 360 when it first came out. Like, it was a big leap forward in graphics and kind of...
Sure.
Had an interesting take on a third-person shooter, you know.
And the cover mechanics,
the multiplayer.
Cool, and
Yeah. It was new at the time, but they have not done anything to that series since that first game. That was the graphics got better, but mechanically, I feel like that game is just the same game over and over and over.
Yeah, so. I just wanted to. It's been driving me a little bit crazy how I feel like Microsoft is bungling their one attempt at redemption of having this Xbox One X. That's like, hey, we got the, if you want to play a video game, this is by the numbers the best way you can play one on a console right now. And that message has gone nowhere. And I think it's because there's no game to showcase it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, rant done.
Rant accepted. Let's just go down the list here. EA.
All right. They've got, let's, in context, EA, little bit of ground to make up here at E3.
Yeah.
I think so. Have not been winning hearts and minds of late.
No. I guess their biggest release is probably going to be Battlefield 5.
Again, kind of who cares? I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean,
Battlefield 1 was a cool game. I just didn't play it very much because I'm just kind of burned out. Like, they haven't done anything new with that series. It's got the same problem going for it that Call of Duty has for me. I'm done. Like, I need something different out of the series.
It's like buying Madden every year. At a certain point, you're just like, really what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
I'll play the old Madden that I like.
Yeah. So, I'm not super excited about a new Battlefield game, but they haven't really said much about it. So
they're keeping it under wraps at the moment.
Yeah, other than there's going to be women in it, which apparently makes people go bananas on the internet.
And
they all need to shut the fuck up.
That's
stupid.
That's a real good example of a bunch of teenage boys losing
that
their
shit.
They
shouldn't have access to the internet anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are the people we take it away from, John. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. When I'm in charge, Bo, we'll take the internet away from people. Quote me on that.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yep.
I think you just put that on the sticker. Dolan 2020.
Dolan 2020. Yeah.
I'll take your internet away.
Yeah.
If you're an ass at dot dot dot.
I think it's a winner. I think it's a winner. Yeah. We're going all the way, man.
Yeah, just like Greg Stilson from the Dead Zone. What else does EA have besides Battlefield? Anything else that
Anthem.
Oh right, that's the BioWare joint.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, they got a lot riding on that too. Speaking of grounded makeup.
If that game sucks, BioWare is in
trouble.
They're
done. I think if Anthem comes out and flops, I think BioWare maybe in name only. You know, you'll start seeing fucking Neverwinter Nights updates and shit coming out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, they showed it last year and they showed, you know, a good portion of it, some actual gameplay. It's not supposed to come out until 2019. I haven't seen anything in what they've showed of that game so far that just made me go, oh my god, I can't wait to play Anthem.
Everything I heard about it was, well, it sounds like Destiny.
Yeah.
And they've already made one of those. In fact, they've made two of those now.
They're going to scream in on the heels of Destiny just in time for everybody to be tired of that kind of game.
You're not going to pull the Destiny players off, who are your target market, people new to it, as soon as they talk to a friend who's like, the fuck are you playing Anthem for, man? Everybody plays Destiny.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I hope it's fucking great. If it's got some BioWare DNA in it, and it's also like Destiny, you know?
I just have no faith in that as someone who played enough of Andromeda to know that I did not want to play any more of that game ever again. And lest I remind our listeners, my torrid affair with Dragon Age Inquisition.
It's a dark time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It still hurts when I think about it. That's one of those things on my deathbed. Be like, I finished Dragon Age Inquisition.
I want that fucking time back.
Yeah.
Can I get credit? Can I get credit for it here at the end?
Right.
No. No is the answer to that question.
But I am curious. I want to see what Anthem is. I want to see what it looks like. Yeah. And I do hope for the best, of course, because BioWare has made some of my favorite games ever. But
yeah,
not the past couple. And I don't think EA's fingers being in it are helping matters.
No. They've also got their cadre of sports, Madden, NHL, FIFA, NBA Live, of course. I mean, I don't think they're going to do anything else with Star Wars because they fucked that thing up so bad that nobody wants to play it anymore.
What if they present it like, look, we know, but hear us out. We've got another Battlefront 3 is coming. All the microtransactions are cosmetic. There's no gameplay effect to any of them other than your appearance. And it's going to have a campaign, and it's going to be cool, and are we good now?
I don't know, man. I think that game needs a complete redesign. Like, I know that DICE just literally just redesigned the entire game, how it works. Like, but it's just real generic as far as shooters go. It feels a lot like Battlefield in the way that the characters kind of move around, but Battlefront 2 just felt really empty to me. Like, the maps had no life to them at all. Like, okay, here is the map at, what's her name? Maz's temple from the new Star Wars trilogy. And you can go in it, and you can be outside of it, and the trees don't react to your blasters in any way. Like, there was no, like, cool graphic detail to it that you would expect from the Frostbite engine. And it was just a very static map with a bunch of players running around on it shooting at each other. There was no, like, you can't, like, throw a grenade into these trees and some of them then will fall over and kind of change the dynamic of it. Like, there was destructible environments as a thing that the Frostbite engine does really, really well were completely missing from Star Wars Battlefront. Which I don't understand at all. And then I've ranted on this show numerous times about how much the flying sucks in that game, so...
As soon as in the first one, when they went to, well, there's this card you get that occasionally spawns, and it was like, oh, that's stupid.
Uh-huh.
I want to go to the thing and then fly the thing, like in the Battlefront games of my youth. Yep. Back in the old days when you could just
get a ship and fly. It's just more than that. Like, yeah, that system is stupid, but I think just kind of the mechanics of the game itself are just broken. Like, they made flying TIE fighters boring. How do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, that always seemed to me like it should feel like you're almost out of control in those things.
Yep. It's right on the edge. Yeah. Like, yep. And it's not there at all. Like, blowing up the Death Star should be super fucking fun. And it's just not. It's work in that game. I don't know. I was real disappointed. Hmm. I don't think they can save what exists. I think they need to do a Battlefront 3, and it needs to go in a very different direction. So, I don't think they're going to announce that this year.
Probably not.
I think people have had enough Star Wars for a while. Like, that new Solo movie is not doing great.
Doing well enough.
It's well enough, but like, comparatively for the Star Wars franchise, it is... Eh.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's good or not. I'm sure it's probably a decent Star Wars movie, you know.
I've heard good things. I've heard better things about this than any of the other, like, offshoot films. But also, it's, like, nobody, you know, it's the old Patton Oswalt bit about, I just like the thing I like. I don't need to see a movie about how the thing I like became the thing I like. Just show me the thing I like.
Yeah. You don't have to explain everything.
Right.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Give me a slice. Give me a slice of this universe.
Why is that watermelon there?
Nobody knows.
It's a whole thing.
That's about all for EA. At least that's all that I was able to find. All
right. Well, nothing to...
Anthem, Battlefield, maybe something Star Wars, and then a bunch of sports shit. But
Anthem is probably the thing I'm most interested about there, and even that's pretty it's new. Tempered.
Yeah. So, and it's still not due out for another year, so a lot can change in that amount of time. Square Enix.
All right.
What do we got going on here? Shadow of the Tomb Raider?
Sure. I like them Tomb Raider games quite a bit. I think those are a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've seen some screenshots for that look amazing. That whole series since the 2013-ish, mm-hmm. 2014 reboot of that game have all been fantastic, really fun takes on that property. I've had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, kind of out uncharted sometimes.
Yeah, totally out uncharted. Like I've said it before, I'm not a big, huge fan of Uncharted games, but these Tomb Raider ones are goddamn good.
And I think they made the character of Lara Croft compelling in these games.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, there are times where she does seem vulnerable, and other times where she seems like a complete badass, and it's fun to play that character in all of those times. So,
yeah, it's like a real Indiana Jones vibe. It does an Indiana Jones pretty good.
Yeah, it sure does.
I've never played Dragon Quest, but Dragon Quest XI.
Man, you never played the old school like NES Dragon Quest stuff?
Never did.
Oh, man. Nope. Those were good games. I'm very curious to see what Dragon Quest XI looks like. Like, how crazy do they go with it? But, yeah, the old game was kind of, you know, an old school. It was very much like Final Fantasy.
It's like a JRPG.
Sure, yeah. You know, back in the old day when I played it, you know, the Dragon Dragon Quest, like, 1, 2, 3 kind of shit, where it was, you know, it was all the 2D sprites and whatnot, but they were great games. They were really fun.
I've also never played a Kingdom Hearts game, so I have no idea what that's all about.
Nope.
But Kingdom Hearts 3 is something that, let's see, it was originally announced at E3 2013, due to launch sometime this year, 5 years later.
Our Shotcast official Disney expert, Justin, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to Mickey about Kingdom Hearts 3?
Give us a full Donald Duck.
The most excited person in the world.
Let's see if I can do it.
I can't do that.
It's not bad. I've never played any of those games either. It just, you know, fine. That makes a lot of people happy and fine. It'll sell a bunch.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, what is it? Is it like an RPG? I have no idea what Kingdom Hearts is.
Okay. Yeah, like an action RPG kind of.
But it's like crossover properties, like it's Disney characters with like
Final Fantasy,
like right.
Other stuff like, too. I think
Tifa hanging out with Pluto.
Yeah, that doesn't hit me anywhere. Not a super big Disney fan and. Whatever.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a whole bunch of people that are super crazy for that. So, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Anyone?
You know, it depends on how they do it. If it's just we're making the art prettier. My understanding is that it's going to be more of a 3D kind of game, which sounds interesting for sure.
Just Cause 4.
All right. I never played 3.
Yeah,
I own it and have never played it. I got it as like a, I think it was one of the free downloads on PlayStation a while ago.
Oh yeah, and maybe so. I don't know that I've ever tried that either. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of their free monthly releases a while back, and I just never played it. Yeah, it looked really fun. Like it's a little physics playground. We shall see. Life is Strange 2. I never finished the first one of those.
There was Life is Strange, and then there was, what, After the Storm? Before the Storm? Before the Storm was the add-on.
Oh, and those are the people that you told me this, didn't you? That did the vampire. Yeah.
It's those folks.
Yeah, I played like a couple hours of the first one of those, and it was interesting, but I just never got into it.
Yeah, I kind of had the same reaction to it. Like, I thought it was really good, but it was also subject matter that I wasn't necessarily all that interested in. You know, I mean, this may come as a stunner, given my love of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not all fiction about adolescent girls is up my alley. And that was sort of the thing. It was just like, I get it. I think if I were, you know, no girl or no, if I were 15 years younger, this would matter more to me. But I thought it was well done, though. And I think Vampire. Nosferatu.
She's Italian?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to skate right over that. but I think from what I've seen, it has some of those dialogue kind of hooks that Life is Strange did and did well. So,
A couple other ones I don't know anything about. Octopath Traveler and Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Octopath Traveler is a Switch game. Because I played the demo.
Yeah, it's a Switch-exclusive RPG due out in July. Turn-based adventure heavily inspired by Square Enix's library of classics.
Yeah, so that's kind of my jam. I like turn-based strategy stuff. And I thought the demo was fun. Hmm. And what was the other one? Octopath Traveler and what else?
Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Oh, okay. And that's the kind of kid-oriented, kind of Minecraft
crafting. Yeah.
All right, that's a pretty solid lineup out of Square Enix.
Yeah. And, you know, sounds like some pretty solid Square Enix properties, so.
Yeah.
And like a good variety from Tomb Raider to Dragon Quest to Kingdom Hearts. Like, they're kind of, you know, hitting a lot of different spots. Just Cause, a couple of open world things, physics-based, turn-based. Yeah, not bad.
Right. If you give me just those games to play for 6 months, I'd probably be all right.
Yeah. Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Had a leak of a new Assassin's Creed Odyssey game.
Yeah. As much as I like Origins, that still feels soon to me.
It's very, very soon.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to jump back in for, you know, 60 hours of Assassin's Creed.
I couldn't bring myself to do it with Origins.
It's
like I've seen it on sale a couple times, and I know how good you said it is, and I've watched streams, and I'm like, wow, that looks really fun, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, now I get it. I don't know that I'll pull the trigger on Odyssey. I feel like Origins has me just fine for a while. I had a great time with it. I think it's a great game, and you know, one could make the argument that too much is never enough, but you know, sometimes you got to push away from the table on the Assassin's Creed.
It takes place in ancient Greece. People are speculating it takes place around the time of Leonidas I, the famous Spartan warrior who died dramatized in the movie 300, that kind of era of Greece.
Now I'm back in.
Yeah. The Crew 2, I never played The Crew. Racing game that will allow seamless transition between cars, boats, and racing planes on the same course.
Yeah. I played a little bit of that. It didn't handle all that great.
True. Tom Clancy's Division 2. I could go for that. I'm curious to see what a numbered sequel to that game looks like, given that there were some holes in the last one. There were some emptiness to that Dark Zone mechanic that need to be addressed.
You think they stay in New York? Is it going to be a different setting? Do you think they open the world up a little bit more?
I'm curious. I don't know. What I'm more curious about, I think, is if mechanically it stays the same. Does it stay as this kind of bullet spongy shooter? Or do they tweak that a little bit? I don't know. Like I would assume, kind of, 'cause that's kind of the, you know, the loop of that game. That's kind of what the Division is that numbers fly out of people while you shoot them kind of a game.
Maybe it goes a little bit more the way of Wildlands or something.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, there's something really interesting going on with the shooters that Ubisoft is putting out lately because, you know, the Division and Wildlands, while like aesthetically very similar, mechanically are completely different from one another. Like, they're both shooters, but Division's got the, you know, the cover system, kind of that sticky cover system, which actually works pretty good. But Wildlands, how do you stick to walls in Wildlands again? Do you just walk it up just to happens. Them and it just kind of takes cover? Yeah. But it didn't have, like, that mechanic, like, from the Division where you could kind of point up ahead of you. It was kind of like that Splinter Cell Conviction deal where you point ahead and then hold a button and they would run up to cover which I actually think that's a pretty good cover system.
I still miss the old Rainbow Six Vegas days of the button to go into cover. I still prefer
hold down
that.
The left fucking trigger, and you are staying in cover while you hold down the left trigger.
I like that.
Yep. It worked real good. I can't believe that there hasn't been an updated version of that. It works so good. Skull and Bones, another Assassin's Creed spinoff. They are apparently just kind of taking the naval combat from Black Flag and blowing it out into its own game.
Multiplayer, though,
they,
right?
Yeah, I believe so. They delayed it a while ago, though. Delayed until 2019-2020 fiscal year. Stating in a company earnings report that it needed more polish.
I'm sure it benefits them, too, to see Sea of Thieves come out and see what people...
What are they're interested in, what they're asking for,
And being able to kind of pull back and say, like, okay, well, we need some content in here when we launch and also have good ship combat.
Yeah.
But which was fun in, you know, Assassin's Creed 4. That ship combat's all right.
Yeah. That's kind of the resurgence of pirates in video games.
I like it.
Yeah.
I want to get the gritty, like, Bethesda pirate RPG.
Yeah, well, there you go. Take it. Beyond Good and Evil 2. They showed off, like, that crazy trailer.
Yeah, was that last E3? Is that where they premiered that? Holy shit, that thing was crazy.
Yeah, and it, like, not a whole lot there to understand what it is, but... they're bringing it back. Show it again. See what, like, I don't, I'm curious. I want to see what this is. Where does it say here? Melee combat with swords. Offer battles between massive airships. Dogfights between fighter pilots. Melee combat with swords. They also said in this game world, the solar system known as System 3 will be seamless with no loading. Players will create a character and step into the role of a pirate captain, but they'll have crew members with individual responsibilities like medic and spy. It's unclear if these can be human-controlled characters or AI allies. I have no idea what this game is.
Well, an online naval combat game.
In space.
In space.
With a monkey.
Yeah.
That's the main character, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, who knows, man? Like...
Yeah.
And, it, you know, I remember when that game was announced, I guess, last E3. And afterwards, there was a call from the developers that were like, hey, we want to hear from the fans. What kind of game is it that you're looking for? And it's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, don't you know what this game is?
Aren't you working on it yet?
Or did you just come up with this crazy video and are like, you know, Soul... Do you have any ideas for us? How do you like the monkey? He uses bad words, no?
You know, Ubisoft has a pretty good lineup of games, man.
Yeah.
Far Cry 5 expansions, For Honor DLC, rumored new Splinter Cell coming out.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm most curious about. And the implication, of course, being that Michael Ironside is back as Sam Fisher.
Yeah,
because
he...
That's all I want.
He recorded some audio for, like, a one-off mission in Ghost Recon Wildlands as Sam Fisher. And then everybody's like, well, they didn't just bring him into the studio for that. Like, obviously he was there working on something, and they're like, hey, why don't you record some stuff and we'll throw it in Wildlands? That'll be fun. So.
Revok! Del Revok!
I really liked the last couple of Splinter Cell games. Conviction and Blacklist were both a hell of a lot of fun. Like, we played through the co-op on those together for both of them, and it was just a blast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, those games have been real fun lately. Well, that's it for those guys. What else do we got here? Bethesda?
Yeah. What you got, Bethesda? Well, all right, so we know 76. 76. Yeah.
Yep. Rage 2.
Sure.
Uh-huh. I mean, there were some interesting ideas in Rage. Specifically, bullet damage, the way that it kind of knocked guys back, worked really, really cool in that game. But then you would get, like, locked into this section of it where it's, like, time to race this stupid car that doesn't drive very well, and you can't really progress forward in the game until you've done that. And then I quit playing Rage. Which was too bad, because it was, like, it had some potential to it.
I never got there, but I heard it ended particularly badly.
Yeah, I never did either. More content for Prey.
All right, that game turned out to be...
Did you play that? Yeah, I never played it, the new one.
I never played it, but I know it was more popular than sort of, I think, anyone expected.
Yeah, yeah. Quake Champions are still farting around with.
That's the online thing, right?
There's some speculation that there might be a new Dishonored, but I think that's only because it's been a long time since there was a Dishonored game.
Yeah, I guess so. Dishonored 2's been a while.
Yeah. Nothing really announced for, like, Wolfenstein or Doom or anything like that. I think both of those have kind of... I know they released some DLC for the new Colossus, the new Wolfenstein game, but I guess they're done with that. I really haven't heard much about that since I finished the campaign. Mm. Yeah.
And you know they're going to have something about Elder Scrolls Online that'll be there in some form.
Yeah. Yeah. What is this one here? Starfield, a new spacefaring RPG that has been rumored to be in development for a while. The article I'm reading here from Polygon says, there's nothing to make us believe it's making an appearance at this year's E3, but you never know. Elder Scrolls Online Somerset arrives June 5th for fans of the massively multiplayer game. Yeah, Bethesda's got some interesting stuff going on. Yeah, but Bethesda got all weird all of a sudden. They've, like, own all this stuff, and they're partnered up with... Ever since they bought id and then made Wolfenstein a thing, and then Doom was a really good thing, and then Prey all of a sudden comes back, and it's led us to Rage 2. Bethesda's such a strange studio.
Yeah, but that's what I like about them, is they do...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was the Fallout Shelter thing of, like, hey, we made this weird mobile app, and by the way, it's available now. Like,
download.
Yeah, I like a studio that wants to come out and do something showy and have a little razzmatazz, as the kids say.
Yep. That's kind of all the rumor stuff we have, except for Skate 4. Once again, people keep saying, hey, you should make Skate 4. And then people are like, yeah, maybe we'll make Skate 4. Then it never goes anywhere. Skate 3 red-ringed my very first Xbox 360.
Oh,
that's the game I was playing when it froze up for the very first time.
It's too hot a game. System couldn't handle it.
It was pretty good. It's one of the best skateboard things I think I ever played. Like, I never really got into Tony Hawk. Like, it was fun, but I thought Skate was a way more interesting skateboarding game. Just worked pretty good. A little flip stick, do tricks.
I'd check out
Skate 4.
I think maybe it's worth mentioning PlayStation, the stuff we know for sure. The Spider-Man game.
Yes.
That I'm very curious about. Last of Us 2. What is the one that's the zombie biker? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it because every time I've seen it, I've thought, that looks forgettable. I don't know.
They delayed that. What the fuck is that called? Like, not long after they showed it last time, they announced that it was delayed.
Oh, Days Gone By?
Days Gone.
And
I think it's just Days Gone. Yeah.
But it's one of those things, like, the title, it doesn't stick out. The gameplay, every time I've seen it, it's like, Well, that seems cool that you're getting so many enemies on a screen, but other than that, I don't know how the game is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still so unclear about what that thing is supposed to be, but Last of Us 2, on the other hand, all right.
Yeah. I just saw it here. Death Stranding.
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's get Kojima on stage to do something weird.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, who knows what the hell that thing is.
I just...
gonna turn into.
I love that it's a thing.
Yep.
I love the trailers for it. The trailers are bananas. Anything Kojima wants to do. I'm not even that big a fan of Kojima's games. My favorite Kojima game is still Snatcher. So I did not go with him on all the Metal Gear shit. But I would love to see what... He's just kind of a lunatic. And his games feel very much from whatever crack psyche he possesses. It feels like his games are kind of his games. And so kind of let loose from Konami. I don't know. Like, let's see what he does. Because the rumor is that PlayStation, when it comes to developers, is pretty hands-off for the most part. So if it's just Kojima sitting around in his underwear just imagining whatever he wants to do for a video game, I can't wait to see what that is.
Yeah. Some kind of not specifically affiliated with the PlayStation, but Red Dead Redemption 2, which is still does not have a PC announcement for it.
Oh, well, of course.
We'll get one.
Eventually, it'll happen, but I think they're gonna delay it. I bet it's gonna be a year before it comes out on PC, which is depressing. But maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, get me to buy it twice, fuckers.
And also, when that thing comes out, obviously, I think we've talked about this on the show before. I'm gonna have to take a little time off. really dive into it. But I'm really incredibly curious what the online component of this thing is going to look like. If they blow it out the way they've done with the GTA 5, GTA Online stuff, I mean, I could see where that could be really compelling.
Do you think it's going to have a battle royale mode in it?
Maybe of a sort. I don't know that game handles well enough in terms of combat that's its strong suit.
Maybe, and yeah, and they kind of need to change that up. I'm kind of over the Rockstar gunplay mechanic. It's loose in a not so great way.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't mind if they tighten that up some, but other than that, make it all prettier and more. And I'm fine. That goddamn Red Dead Redemption is just about a perfect game. And
it was real fun. I mean, even back then, there wasn't a ton of online stuff to do, but like the forts where you had to shoot the cannonballs down, and like that stuff was real neat. Like, it wasn't super repeatable. And I remember we had a lot of fun just kind of doing like the wildlife quests, go out and find some cougars and get some skins and do all that kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun, but they definitely need to make that more, just have more variety to it. Like, I think they've kind of learned how to do that with GTA Online.
Right, and also they know if they do it right, it will make them $1 billion forever.
Yeah. Yep.
All the money.
Single most valuable entertainment property in the history of the planet. Grand Theft Auto. That's bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm glad that I'm glad Red Dead Redemption 2 took so long. I'm glad that it's been as long as it has been since that original game. I think it's left me in a place where I think about Red Dead Redemption 2 on a pretty daily basis now, where I'm like, it's almost here. It's just like 4 more months away, and then I'll be playing Red Dead Redemption 2. And I like feeling like that for a game. Even if Red Dead Redemption 2 sucks, I will have enjoyed this kind of anticipation for something that, you know, I have faith will be better than average at least, but also has the potential to be something truly special.
Yeah. They got the Smash Brothers game coming out on Switch. And then what was the last? I saw one other thing. Metroid Prime 4 for the Nintendo Switch. They showed like a very brief thing last year at E3, but I don't remember anything about it. But
yeah, I like Metroid style games, like original Metroid style games, like kind of Metroidvanias as they're called now. But the Prime stuff is like, it's fine. It's a space shooter. It's fun enough, but
I never played the original.
You know, I mean, if it's really good, then you know I'll pick it up for the Switch if I hear it's a great game and it's something that I can take to work with me and shoot aliens and whatnot for a little bit.
Okay, I'm in. Aliens need to die. That's about it. Like I just kind of did a general search here. Most of this shit is just all rumors at this point, but. Couple short days, we'll know.
Yeah,
we'll know it all.
You guys have anything that you're particularly looking forward to on that list, Justin? You got anything that's got you all hot and bothered?
Nothing hot and bothered. I'd certainly want to know more about this Starfield thing. See if that's anything of substance.
Well, they said it's an RPG, right? Have they gone that far? Like a Mass Effect, RPG. Like maybe after Andromeda was so bad, maybe they were like, look, we have to take it upon ourselves to give to the people a good spacefaring role-playing game. And that's what this is, maybe. Because Bethesda is benevolent and kind.
Right.
I'm real curious for when, like, CCP does something revolutionary with Eve. You know, like, they're never going to give that up because it's a fucking cash cow. But maybe they make it so you can play it in first person with a virtual reality helmet or something. That game's been out for a long time, and it's been kind of the same game for 14 years or whatever. So, yeah. Who knows?
That kind of falls in that if it ain't broke category, though.
Yeah, it does. It's from the list of stuff we've been talking about, probably I really want to see what this Fallout thing is. I'm curious about... I want to see more of Anthem. I want to see more of Beyond Good and Evil. Death Stranding, just because it'll be a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe Splinter Cell Division, kind of from the Ubisoft stuff, that would be interesting. I haven't played a good Spider-Man game in a long time. I wouldn't mind Spider-Man being real good.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get my hands on the Spider-Man game. That seems like there are a lot of ways to screw that up, but if they get it right, that could be pretty great. I think, you know, weirdly, of all the games we've talked about, like, I'm most curious about that Fallout game just because of the mystique around now.
I mean, that's one of those revolutionary things. Like, if it's truly co-op, if it's multiplayer in some way, that's a huge change for how that game works. So I think that is kind of the big thing I'm looking out for as well.
Yeah. But in terms of the game I'm most looking forward to playing... It's probably that new Tomb Raider game. I've had a blast with both of the previous games, and I think
they've been real good.
Yeah,
they're just gorgeous, and the shooting guns is super fun in that game, and there's just enough puzzle solving to it to kind of give you that Tomb Raider vibe.
And I think the stories have been real good, from the first one when it's just like, oh, you're stuck on this island and this is sort of Lara Croft's baptism by fire. And then the second one, the stuff with her father and all that, I was like, oh, these are kind of fun stories. Like, I like the I don't know how close it is to the original games. I don't remember them having too much detail about that stuff, but providing kind of a backstory and making the characters around her kind of more interesting and whatnot. I think they've done a great job with them. So I'm very much looking forward to playing the next one. Hell, I bought an Xbox so I could play that sequel. And it turns out that's what I did, is I played that sequel, and then I was kind of done playing the Xbox for a while. Damn you, Xbox.
That's kind of all the rumors I've got.
All right.
Rumored out.
Well, like you said, we're going to know a bunch more here in a couple of days, so when next we record, we will be discussing, you know, what happened at E3, and we'll know a lot more about all of this stuff. In the meantime, folks, first of all, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for joining us. We like to end the evening by kicking it around the horn one final time to talk about what we're going to be playing in the ensuing fortnight or so. Speaking of fortnights, right?
I get it.
I got it, too.
No one accused you of anything different. But, so what, Justin, are you going to be playing over the next couple of weeks that you're excited about continuing your journey into?
Definitely The Vampyr. And I give that a deep dive here this weekend and see if it's as good as it seems like it could be.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I need to play some more of that for sure. John, how about yourself?
I'm not done with Sea of Thieves yet. I've been having a lot of fun with that. And Fortnite is a perfect game to play when I'm not playing Sea of Thieves. So I'll probably just be sticking with those two unless something pops up on the radar. I've been waiting for E3 for a few weeks. So I've just not been buying any new games lately.
So. In case somebody does a surprise drop on you.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
get myself some.
Give me $60 and I'll give you this thing that you didn't know you wanted.
That's right. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat there.
Actually, the correct answer to your question is I'll be setting up and playing all of my old games on my new monitor that I bought.
I saw that. I was late to that particular email party, but well done. Tell people what you got.
Yeah. I picked up the Asus 21x9 100Hz curved widescreen IPS monitor.
All the bells, all the whistles.
Yeah, G-Sync, overclocks, all that neat stuff. That's going to be real fun to hook up and play with because my primary monitor right now is a 1080p Samsung television.
Yeah, that's not
great. It's fine.
Yeah, but
it's a good size TV. It's a 34-inch HD TV, you know, it looks good, but I'll be excited to have a nice monitor again. It has been my other monitor, my second monitor on my desk here is a Dell flat panel monitor that I have had for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you certainly get your money's worth out of items.
1680 by 1050 resolution on this baby. Still working great.
Well, if you want to fire up a little StarCraft 2... Or no, not even StarCraft 2. OG StarCraft. Going back to the Brood War days. There you go. That's the kind of monitor. A
real good monitor. Sure? I mean, it's the one I had when I lived in Nashville that I bought when I moved there in 2004. I've had this monitor for a long fucking time, and it's still churning along here.
There are many like it, but that one is yours.
So I literally haven't bought a new computer monitor for 14 years.
Well, you were probably overdue.
Yeah, that's how I sold it to the wife.
It's been 14 years. Listen,
we need this monitor. We, as a team, need this new monitor.
As a life partner, you should understand that we need this. Yep.
Listen, when I'm not using it, you can use it all you want.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll play anything you want.
Yeah. And I'm safe saying this because she won't listen to this fucking show.
Of course not.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think I'll probably... I'm kind of riding the line here between the two of you is probably a fair amount of Sea of Thieves and Vampire. And also I'm slowly but surely plucking my way through God of War. I'm not quite done with that, but I'm on my way. I think I'm over the hill and on my way to the conclusion. And that game has been fun. And the further I've gone in the game, you start to get stupid powerful, so it becomes way less of an ordeal to fight some of those battles. I mean, some of them are still plenty challenging, but a lot of the grunts at this point in the game are like, oh, okay, I've got my routine here. I'm going to do this stun thing and then an AOE thing and then pick off the remains. But that game, you know, remains really good. So I'll be playing that stuff. And if, folks, you would like to hear more from us and see more, quite frankly, then you can head over to sdfgaming.com. You can also find stuff on Twitter at sdfgaming. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks to do this all again and talk about what a cave of wonders E3 was and what treasures it has bestowed upon us. So until then, folks, I guess say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Sorry, good night.
Wow, he ducked out early.
Something.
Yeah,
no, I had the mute button on. That was all me.
He was on his porno site picking out his pornos already.
Uh huh. Yep. Yeah, boy, he's really feed up in the last 15. Hey, good night, everybody. Mm-hmm.